Chapter 6. Types of Fasts and Fasting Found in the Bible. Part 1. Types of Fasts. Before you begin your fast, you will need to commit to what type of fast you will be doing. In the Bible, there are all kinds of different fasts. Some are 3 days, some are 40 days, some fasts are just for food, and some are for food and water. There are 2 types of Daniel fasts in the Bible, and we're going to talk about those later in this section. But for now, these are the main types of fasts that I will be referring to in this book. I broke them down into phases. Phase 0, dry fast. This is no food, no water. The benefit of this is when you deprive your body of water, it has to pull water from other cells and go into survival of the fittest. All the weak cells die off and the powerful cells draw water from the weak cells. This is also really good for inflammation, even if it is short term. Fat has hydrogen in it, and hydrogen and oxygen make water. So if you're deprived of water, your body's going to create water from fat cells. This is not the fast that we're practicing in this book. I call this fast phase 0 because it is not something that I would recommend or talk about in this book. I just want you to know it exists. Phase 1, water fast. You literally eat nothing but water. Phase 2, coffee and tea fast, only black coffee and unsweetened tea. Phase 3, the limited liquid fast or stabilizing liquid fast. With this fast, I am drinking things that stabilize me, sustain me, and help take my fast to the next level. Water with 1 lemon or lime squeezed, or water with 1 freshly squeezed orange. This is only like 1/2 ounce of freshly squeezed juice. Organic coffee with MCT oil, coconut oil, or a non-dairy coconut creamer like Laird's Superfood. Bone broth. Bone broth is something that I use when I'm doing longer fasts because it helps balance your electrolytes. Even though I'm a fan of electrolyte packets, it seems like bone broths work even better. Keep in mind that bone broth can be super high in sodium, so if you step on the scale when you're drinking a lot of bone broth, don't be surprised if you see your weight go up. I don't want you to weigh yourself during the fast and think you're destroying your metabolism. Organic unsweetened matcha green tea with macadamia nut milk or organic canned coconut milk. Check the can to make sure there's no guar gum or other chemicals like carrageenan and sweeteners. It is really important that you are reading the labels on anything you add to your drinks during this phase. I was shocked when I was at Starbucks and asked to see the ingredients in their coconut milk. I couldn't believe all the chemicals and sweeteners. You want to keep your fast as clean as possible. If possible, make your own nut milks using only the nuts and water. Throughout this book, I'm going to refer to those different fasts and phases, so bookmark this page for easy reference. When you're choosing your type of fast and length of fast, I want to encourage you to pray and seek God and how long He would like you to fast and what kind of fast He is calling you to do. Recently, the pastor at my church, Thomas Lane, announced that we were going to embark on a 21-day corporate fast where everyone was supposed to give up something for 21 days. He said that everyone should pray and decide what they wanted to give up, maybe one meal, maybe social media. I knew that giving up one meal a day would not be a sacrifice for me, so I went for a really big sacrifice. Since I believe that the biblical word for fasting means to not eat, I decided that I was going to fast for 21 days by only drinking water, tea, and coffee. The fast started out rough, and I expected to hit my stride. But when I got to day 7 of nothing but coffee, tea, and water, I noticed that my health was really declining. There's a difference in feeling uncomfortable and feeling ill, and I felt very ill. I felt like I was losing my mind and bodily functions. I prayed and asked God how He really wanted me to move forward with my fast. I'm not a quitter, and this was really hard for me to do. But I asked Him to give me clarity about how I should finish my fast, and He gave me peace. I felt like He was telling me that I should transition from phase 2, the water fast with coffee and tea only, to the phase 3 fast to include stabilizing liquids. I want to be really clear that it is important to be in tune with the Holy Spirit and ask Him to guide your fast. Because I have so many health issues, I did not feel it was wise to continue past 7 days. I literally felt like I could not function. It is important to keep your commitments, but sometimes you have to show yourself grace and evaluate and adjust. The biggest piece of this is to seek God's guidance if you feel He may be calling you to long-term fast. The reason He gave me peace about modifying my fast and including the stabilizing liquids is because even with these liquids added, 21 days is still a huge sacrifice and test of my faith. Stabilizing liquids do just enough to sustain you and allow you to function when you have reached your limits. Eating and fasting in the Bible. I love Rick Warren. He's one of my favorite pastors to listen to, and I have just learned so much from him. He created a fasting program called the Daniel Plan that is very popular in Christian circles, and many churches do it together as corporate fast. If you look this plan up, you'll see that it consists of 50% non-starchy veggies, 25% lean proteins, animal or veggie proteins, 25% whole grains or starchy veggies, pasta, quinoa, beans, fruit. It allows things like healthy sweeteners, dark chocolate, etc. The problem with the Daniel fast is that it's a man-made diet. I know several people that gained weight doing this plan because they were eating all this whole wheat pasta and beans. But more than that, they defeated the purpose of fasting, which is taking the focus off food. Instead of focusing on their fast, they were focusing on finding all the foods they were allowed to eat and creating substitutes for the food they couldn't have. I went to the Bible to see what it has to say about the Daniel plan. There are actually two types of fasts mentioned in Daniel. I continued to study the book of Daniel and was blown away when I learned that they weren't talking about things like whole wheat pasta and meats in the Daniel plan. The first portion was strictly water and vegetables. Let's read the full passage. Daniel 1:11 through 17, New International Version. Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. First off, vegetables only for 10 days, not even any fruit. The other observation here is the clarity the men got with knowledge and understanding, visions and dreams. The second Daniel fast is chapter 10, 2 through 3, New International Version. At that time, Daniel mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. In my opinion, if you want to do a Daniel fast, I would do 10 days of nothing but vegetables. Then for 3 weeks after that, you would pray and consider what is choice food for you and cut that out. For me, choice food would be things like sweets and snacks. For some, it may be things like steak and cheese, maybe cookies or brownies, wine or alcohol. For me, I prayed about what I can get rid of. A slice of Ezekiel bread is something that I really, really love. That is definitely a choice food for me. To me, fruits, veggies, and some nuts are all I need to sustain me and give me the nutrients I need. To me, there are no fruits or veggies you couldn't have except corn, which is a grain. As far as liquids, you could have fresh pressed vegetable juice, coconut milk, or almond milk. Preferably, your nuts will be organic, raw, and sprouted. Other foods to avoid would be sweeteners, breads, pasta, crackers, cookies, energy drinks, dairy products, candy, or meat. If you're going to use oil, you would use things like avocado oil, coconut oil, veggie oil, ghee, but definitely no corn oil. So you should pray about what your choice foods are and cut those out. You need to eat only the substances God created for food, which he lists in Genesis 1:29, New International Version. My regimen of what I did to really heal my body when I was very sick was 5 days with just water and coffee, and then moved to 10 days of vegetables and 3 weeks of fruits, veggies, and nuts. After that, I added clean meats into my diet. Leviticus 11:3, New International Version. You may eat any animal that has a divided hoof and that chews the cud. Animals that chew the cud literally chew and swallow their food, then regurgitate a portion and chew it a second time, so it's nice and clean. Sheep, goat, deer, ox, and cow are animals that chew the cud and have split hooves. Other animals like horses and rabbits are unclean because they don't have split hooves. Camel, rabbit, pig, and squirrels are also unclean because they don't chew the cud. An animal that is a scavenger eats everything they can find, even things that aren't suitable as food, so they have toxins, tapeworms, parasites, and viruses. Why would you want to eat that? Leviticus 11:9, New International Version. Of all the creatures living in the water of the seas and the streams, you may eat any that has fins and scales. You are to detest all the things living in the water. That means shrimp, crab, and lobsters have toxins, harmful bacteria, parasites, and viruses. What happens is in our sewage systems, we have so many chemicals, toxins, and bacteria, and those viruses and parasites get concentrated in the shellfish. First of all, meat contains proteins, iron, zinc, B6, B12, and omega fatty acids. I know a lot of people may be vegan or vegetarian. If God has led you to be vegan or vegetarian, by all means, just pray about it. And if that's what you're allowed to do, then do that. One of the things that is unfortunately in our food now is growth hormones, steroids, and antibiotics. The meat industry has been overfeeding and adding chemical stimulation to animals to get them bigger because they couldn't keep up with the meat demand. For me, I eat meat, but in particular about the quality. I make sure it's grass-fed with no antibiotics, and I'm not overdoing it. Luke 24:42, New King James Version. Broiled fish and honeycomb. Proverbs 24:13, New International Version. Eat honey, my son, for it is good. Honey from the comb is sweet to your taste. There are 61 mentions of honey alone in the Bible. Here are a couple of verses of what God says to eat. Genesis 1:29, New International Version. Genesis 3:18, New International Version. And you will eat the plants of the field. Ezekiel 16:19, New International Version. Also the food I have provided for you, the flour, olive oil, and honey I gave you to eat. You offered as a fragrant incense before them. That is what happened, declares He, Sovereign Lord. Also, the food I provided for you, the flour, olive oil, and honey I gave you to eat, you offered as fragrant incense before them. That is what happened, declares the Sovereign Lord. Genesis 43:11, New International Version. Then their father Israel said to them, if it must be, then do this. Put some of the best products of the land in your bags and take them down to the man as a gift, a little balm and a little honey, some spices and myrrh, some pistachio nuts and almonds. Judges 7:13, New International Version. Ezekiel 4:9, New International Version. Take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt. Take wheat and barley, beans and lentils, millet and spelt. Put them in a storage jar and use them to make bread for yourself. Proverbs 27:27, New International Version. You have plenty of goat's milk to feed your family and to nourish your female servants. Samuel 1:16-2, New International Version. The king asked Ziba, why have you brought these? Ziba answered, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and fruit are for the men to eat, and the wine is to refresh those who became exhausted in the wilderness. Leviticus 11:10, New International Version. Of all the creatures living in the water of the seas and the streams, you may eat any that have fins and scales. Everyone is like, you can have this, can't have that, don't eat this, don't eat that. I believe that when I read the Bible, fruits, veggies, nuts, meat that we mentioned, fish, milk, dairy are all acceptable for food. However, I believe that if the foods are altered and modified, they lose a lot of their benefits and can cause sickness. 1 Corinthians 10:23, New International Version. I have the right to do anything. You say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. I had to ask myself, even though I am permitted to eat these foods, how do I feel when I'm eating them? How do I feel after I eat them? As you know, I do a ton of podcasting, and a lot of different guests that I have on my podcast encourage listeners to ditch grains and take them out of the diet for the sake of their health. The two things that the health practitioners on our show, keep in mind, they're usually naturopath functional medicine doctors, say not to eat are grains and dairy. I've had different listeners and people in my Bible study that I host ask me over and over, if bread and grains are not good for you, why are they talked about so much in the Bible? And why does Jesus give so many references to bread and grains? How could you say that bread is bad for you if Jesus is the bread of life? It was such a good point. And for me personally, when I eat no grains at all, I'm literally like a new person. It's like night and day how I feel when I eat grains and when I don't. I really had to battle this and say, okay, that is true. I can give you so many examples of the Bible mentioning barley and grains. If grains are so unhealthy, why does the Bible refer to grains and bread? And why does Jesus himself call himself the bread of life? It really is a huge point, and I've researched this and read some different books on grains. After reading books and articles online about grains, here's the bottom line. The way that they prepared grains in the Bible is completely different than the way they prepared grains today. In Bible times, grains were prepared by sprouting, fermenting, and soaking them. If you think about the equipment that we have today to grind the grain the way we have flour, they don't have the same machines today as they had back then. Back then, grains were ground by hand or stones. The flour that we are eating today is ground at such a small size that your body then converts it to sugar. This is why flour and processed foods has such a big impact on our blood sugar. You've seen different studies they've done where a piece of bread could raise your blood sugar more than just eating straight sugar because of the way it's bleached and processed. The grains in biblical times wouldn't have been mixed with all these chemical additives. My husband jokes, if you want Chantel to fall asleep in 10 minutes, give her a slice of bread. It will put me in bed for the rest of the day. Know thyself. I know that for me, while other people can eat grains just fine, I can't. The gist of all these different books and articles is that you should not eat grains and breads. After reading these books, the gist of the book is that the Bible was written during a very different agricultural time, and the grains that were made thousands of years ago have little to no resemblance to the grains we're eating today. In Jesus' day, the grains had higher protein content. If you looked and said, okay, here's a grain from the Bible times and a grain from today, what would that look like? Not only are they totally different, but because they are trying to avoid pests, they are literally putting massive amounts of pesticides on all of this wheat. The wheat is spread with the same chemicals that are proven to kill rodents. How do you think your body's going to handle this? How do you think your body's going to handle digesting that? It's no wonder why everyone has these autoimmune and gut issues. So the grains in Jesus' time weren't even genetically similar to the grains we are eating today. And after having all these chemicals sprayed upon them, why would you want to eat them? The other piece that I want to note is that when I was looking at all the passages in the Bible about grains, it seemed like a lot of the verses that talked about grains were in the times of hardship. If someone was going through a hard time, they ate grains. It made me think of when I was in college. Literally, I was so poor because I had no job and spent all the money my parents gave me on going to parties, so I had no money for groceries. The cheapest thing that we could eat was grilled cheese sandwiches. I could barely eat a grilled cheese sandwich to this day because of how many I had in college. Grilled cheese is extraordinarily cheap. You could buy a loaf of bread back then for 89 cents and a pack of cheese on sale for 99 cents. So for $2, you could eat grilled cheese sandwiches for dinner for a week. Where it really talks about grains a lot is in the book of Ezekiel, and during that time this book was written, it was not a good time. There was a war and famine going on, and Ezekiel is told to eat carefully portioned amounts to be sure there is enough food. So in Ezekiel 4:1-17, New International Version, there was an impending siege, and the barley, lentil, and millet were the main things they had. It says they were to weigh out the 20 shekels of food and eat it at set times during the 390 days. One of my favorite breads is Ezekiel bread. I don't eat grains often at all anymore because of how I feel. But if you're to eat bread, Ezekiel is one of the best. But if you read Ezekiel, you're like, wow, this is not a happy time. In another story, God sent manna from heaven, and they were eating manna every single day. And they were like, we can't eat manna anymore. Then God gave them quail and meat. Another example is during the 7 years of famine in Egypt, when Joseph became prime minister. He only had 7 years of plenty and stored up grains, so that is all they had to eat during the famine. Basically, the bottom line is this. When it was bad times, that's when they ate whole grains. They had less meat and less fruits and veggies. When things are good, they are eating meat, fruits, and veggies. And actually, if you think about it in the Bible, meat is linked with celebration. When the prodigal son returned home to his father, what does he do instantly? He killed the fattened calf in celebration. He didn't say bake a loaf of bread. If you think about Passover, in the Old Testament, meat sacrifices were often required. And I believe that in times of fasting, just like with Daniel taking out all meat and just eating veggies, I think there are massive benefits to fasting and removing proteins and fats for a certain amount of time. I know that Catholics during Lent and other times will sacrifice and give up something like meat, but meat in the Bible is tied up with celebration. The final point of the whole Jesus is the bread of life argument, what he is basically saying is he wants you to ingest him into your whole body and not just have head knowledge of him. You are eating the bread and consuming the bread, not just having head knowledge of it. Know what it tastes like. I could eat the most amazing chocolate chip cookie and describe it to my friends in great detail, but it wouldn't be the same as her tasting it for herself. It's the same with Jesus being the bread of life. I can describe him to you. I can tell you what it's like to be in a personal relationship with him and what it's like to experience him, but you have to taste and see for yourself to really understand.